everyone. Thank you so much for joining Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino, and Hashtag No Limits is about people who society places limits upon, but who are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better or more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. The caterpillar, for those who don't know, literally dissolves into its cells and then reforms into the butterfly in the cocoon, but it's not finished yet. It still has to struggle to fight its way out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be strong enough to take it everywhere it wants to go once it gets out. Well, none of that can be easy. And something that my daughter gave me as a present recently, and it's an excellent point to go with this, is just when the caterpillar thought its life was over, it becomes a butterfly. And I think that's such a beautiful sentiment. And I just love the whole concept, as you can tell. It's not an easy process, though, and neither is busting through the limits that society places on a person or that we ourselves sometimes place on ourselves. So today, I welcome Karen DeLoach, and she is going to share with us a unique approach, I think, to our creativity and to broadening our horizons and our intelligences. So Karen, thank you so much for joining today. How are you doing?
Great. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you. That was beautiful. I learned something today, too. I didn't realize that they actually dissolve inside that cocoon. That was really
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. I love that very much. And since I have found that out, I have just been kind of fascinated. And so if there's anywhere that I can go and learn more about butterflies or see them going through the process, I've taken time now to sit down and do that and really enjoy the creation that is involved and the process that is involved, that God has done that. And it just constantly re-energizes me to think of the possibilities, which is, like I said, hashtag no limits. So go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the audience about you.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm an artist, a lifetime artist, musician, actor, filmmaker, theater person, and basically a creativity specialist. I have taught art in all kinds of situations, including in college, using textbooks that I've written. I have a how to draw book, how to paint book, and art history appreciation. So it's definitely my passion, the arts, all kinds of arts. My husband and sons are all musicians. We are a very artsy family. So I didn't realize until the last few years, the science behind the miraculous healing power of the arts, as I saw it operationally in my own studio and with my own life and with my students' lives, I started studying to find out this, what's going on with our brains when we're doing arts. It turns out that, you know, we're all creatives because our right brain is a creativity center and we all have it. And the best plan is for us to access both left brain and right brain hemispheres. So I ask people, what did you love when you were 5 and 6? What did you love to do? What were your favorite things that gave you joy? Because scientists are saying that 98% of 5 and 6-year-olds are creative geniuses, but only 2%.
Oh, wow.
But only 2% of adults. So what happens, you know, in those decades between
right.
being 5 and 6 and being grown up? And so I wanted to find out and what can we do to reignite that part of our brain? Because we all experienced these shutdowns the last few years that caused us to reevaluate how we educate ourselves and our children, how we communicate with each other, and really opened up kind of new ways. I know it did for me. It brought me online. I'm 70 years old. I had a whole lot of new things to learn to teach my classes online and my private classes online. But you know what? It's never too late and you're never too old to utilize the right brain brilliance that is there for you. So some people suffering from brain fog or other kinds of disabling mental issues or emotional issues could benefit from engaging in more right brain activities. So just explaining a little bit the left brain, now making it simplistic because I'm not a scientist at all. I'm an art person, okay? But the left brain is the side that has memorization and organization and is technology and orderly and has timeliness, okay? The right brain is intuitive, imaginative, inventive. It's more in touch with our deep soul places and our hearts and our spirits, and it's sensitive. It's engaged with our five senses in more direct ways. And it's also sensitive to the point of being easily damaged, easily wounded. It's sensitive. Mm. So when we're little and we have somebody telling us as we're belting songs out at the top of our lungs, you can't carry a tune, that's going to have an impact on us. We're going to hear those words in our little sensitive right brain because we were having such a good time and we got shut down. And maybe it's, oh, you can't dance or you can't draw. I had somebody tell me that when they were in kindergarten, they had their paper torn in half by the teacher because they colored outside the lines. Oh. Well, she said in third grade, and one of my classmates said, oh, you want to color with me? And she said, oh, I can't color. I'm like, what? Oh. Shut down that part of her brain that significantly at an early age. And so we can look at our own lives as we say, okay, what did I love when I was 5 and 6? Are these things that I could develop in my life now? And I'm here to say, yes, you can. There's so much beauty left to be done and incredible legacy to be left engaging in all kinds of right brain activities.
That's so interesting. And I find that really, what's the word I'm trying to say? Justifying, because I have met very few left-handed people in my lifetime, but the left-handed people that I know seemed to have more creative sides of them that would come out. And if I'm understanding how the brain works, the right side of the brain, I'm sorry, the right side of the brain activates the left side of the body, and the left side of the brain activates the right side of the body. And so that, and I've heard the joke, you know, like, oh, left-handed people are the only ones in their right minds.
I love that, since I'm a lefty, half my family is left-handed.
But I feel like they're, and I've always thought that their handwriting was so much more flowy and flowery.
And usually the ink is all on the side of our hands because we're writing.
Well, yes. Yes, because you're going over what you've written. Yes, that makes sense. I find that really interesting. And like I said, like justifying that what I was thinking, there's actual kind of science behind it. It wasn't just a strange observation that I was making. There was actual, this is probably somewhat true.
Definitely.
Lefties
either.
Right. Oh yeah. I know. but what you said about the child in kindergarten having their paper torn up because they colored outside the lines, that kind of stuff just breaks my heart and makes me mad all at the same time. As a teacher myself, I just get so angry that adults would treat our children in such a way that as a 5 or 6 year old, however old that kindergartner was, that to have that paper torn up, I mean, I don't understand what that person thought they might be teaching that child in that moment.
Either. It floors me. And, you know, because I had an experience, now I was 19 years old in college, so I wasn't a small child, but I was vulnerable. I went to art school because it was challenging for me. I loved to draw, and I loved to draw portraits of people and places, and I wanted to learn more, but I also could do theater in this liberal arts school I went to. And so I was very engaged in all kinds of arts there and sports, which are highly connected, by the way, the arts and sports. And I was doing great my first year, drawing and design, doing great. The second year, when I started my major in painting, is when things fell apart for me. I tried 4 different painting classes with 4 different professors, and they all came to the same conclusion, that I couldn't paint, that I wasn't a painter, that I was a sculptor. I was a three-dimensional artist. They used some of them four-letter words to describe my paintings. I was devastated. I might not have been 5 and 6, but I was devastated. So much so that I switched my major in graduate school and went to study three-dimensional art, sculpture, and ceramics, which I still love. But there was a place in my heart I still wanted to paint. So even after I finished school, I was still trying to paint. And I would get to a certain point and then I would quit. I could not finish my paintings. And it didn't really consciously strike me that I had come into agreement with these teachers until I saw these stacks of unfinished paintings. Well, fortunately, God brought a mentor into my life, and Bob Brown had been to the Chicago Art Institute, speaking of Illinois, where they taught the fundamentals way back when, and he taught me how to paint. Well, because I didn't want to be an abstract expressionist, I wanted to be a naturalist or an impressionist, I needed the skills to be able to make representational art, and he taught me to do that, which, quite frankly, not only made me a better painter and even an award-winning painter, but it made me a better teacher because I realized that anybody that wants to learn to paint can. Now, I'm not saying my college professors were trying to derail my creative life, but they thought they were saving the world from bad art, I guess. I don't know. But they hurt my heart. I came into agreement with those words, just as our right brain that's so sensitive hears these things. And then it transfers over to the left brain, and there becomes this bully voice inside that says, "You're just showing those art teachers right. You're proving them right by not being a good art painter." So, you know, I was happy to be able to defy their words, become an award winning painter, and even a muralist, which has a funny joke too, because my mom, who recognized art talent, gave me, you know, paper and pencils and crayons to draw with. Well, they just weren't big enough, quite frankly. So I ended up coloring on the walls.
Uh-oh.
No, how could my mom know that eventually I was going to be a muralist?
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, we're not advocating for anybody to go out and let your child color on the walls thinking they're going to be the next budding artist. But
My husband says all of our walls are just my canvases, paintings on all the walls, and I've painted in churches and restaurants and homes and love working big. What can I say?
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful. But yes, we had my daughter and our niece were here at our home one time, and they decided that their paper was not big enough either, and started to color on the walls. And they didn't like that they had to clean it up afterwards. But you know, I don't know about my niece, but I know my daughter still will get some of those adult coloring books, you know, and she'll still use that as a creative outlet and a calming thing for her to do sometimes. And I'm really thankful that they make adult coloring books now, because I mean, in my early adult life, there was no such thing. And so, you know, if you were going to color, you were going to colored little kids books. And so it did sort of put the kibosh on whether or not you wanted to color, because you felt silly, you know, coloring something. And I don't know, art was never my strong suit. But my husband is very creative, and our daughter is as well. And I used to have a classroom across from the art teacher. And I'm sorry, we shared a classroom. Her math classroom was across the hall from the art room. And she would be using the classroom when I was having my prep period. And so I would listen to the ways that she taught her junior high students. And I learned as an adult how to do certain things. And now I'm like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I do enjoy coloring again. And my husband does beautiful greeting cards with watercolors, and he draws, and he makes some of the most beautiful things. But he's also very analytical. I do think he tends to have a little of that balance a little bit better. He's organized, and, you know, I just think he has more of that balance. So one of the things that you mentioned when you introduced yourself was that creativity and art can help someone who finds themselves with a new disabling condition, or even if they've been born with a disability or have gotten it, you know, have it manifested itself earlier in life. Can you talk about some of the stories that you are aware of, that you've been a part of, and how they've developed?
Yeah, these stories, you know, as an art teacher, set me on the road to find the science, because it was so amazing to me to see how art heals. So I had a young man that I was a homeschool mom. We had, I was the homeschool art teacher for our community. And this particular child had not only ADHD, but dyslexia, and was not thriving in his academics. He was discouraged. He was even depressed. He lost his sense of humor. And his mom just didn't know what else to do to bring him to my studio. So I started him on drawing and painting, and he took to it like a duck to water. He loved doing sculpture and was getting very good at it. I would enter my students' work in youth art competitions. They would get ribbons and start winning competitions, which gave him the confidence he needed to really address those disabilities, because his mother was an expert at finding ways to work with his mental or brain dysfunctions. And he was able to graduate from high school with good grades, with lots of hope, and it was miraculous. And his family and I were all convinced that having a success in the arts gave him the confidence to address it. So that was an incredible victory. But that's not even the end of his story. So his last youth art competition, as he was graduating, he won not just first place, but best in the entire show, with a beautiful petite in my studio. Then 2 months later, he contracted a brain infection, which gave him a stroke and paralyzed him on the right side of his body. Mm. He was in the hospital 4 months. They weren't even sure he would survive this severe infection. They had to take his skull and replace it with plastic. He had no speech. He couldn't walk. They were trying to do therapy to keep his right hand from curling into a ball. Talk about depression. Well,
right.
He got out of the hospital. He was able to drag himself with a walker, drag the right side of his body, and his mom brought him right back to my studio. I said, well, you know, your left hand works. Let's just see what happens, you know. And he learned to draw and paint and even write left-handed very quickly. Matter of fact, his neurosurgeon called me and he said, I've never called anybody's art teacher before. What are you doing with David? Because not only is he stronger with his weak hand than I am, and I'm a surgeon, but he is getting healing on the right side of his body.
Wow.
Whoa. I'm just teaching him to draw and paint again. And he actually was able to recover his speech, recover walking, recover. He can use his right hand. It's not completely paralyzed. It's not curled up. When you look at this young man now with his sense of humor, he's got a dry sense of humor. He's not in depression. He's living a life worth it and joy with his family. And his neurosurgeon and his family are convinced that art helped bring healing to him. So it turns out we have these very plastic brains. So if one part gets damaged, other parts can come in and compensate. And if he already had, like your husband, those neural connections between right and left brain already happening, they stood him in good stead in this need, this time of need. And so it just set me on this road. What is going on? Isn't this amazing? And then another story, a woman who was in the studio because her children were there, and a lot, I didn't make the mom stay, but I encouraged them to try art. And she turned out to be so good with sculpture with her hands. She came to me one day and said, Karen, I've just been diagnosed with late stage breast cancer and given 6 months to live. But whoa, that's horrible. I said, well, look, I'm preparing for this huge art room installation in 9 months, and I need help. I've got hundreds of pieces to make. I could really use your help. She's like, Karen, I don't even know if I'm going to be here in 9 months. I said, well, you know what? You'll have a legacy to leave your family. Let's try it. So anytime she wasn't doing the medical things, she was in the studio. We had such a great time making all kinds of cupcakes and cakes and candies and cookies, because the show is called Taste and See Sweet Shop. It looked like a chocolate shop, but it was all made out of porcelain. So there we are figuring out what glaze to use to make dark chocolate versus, you know, milk chocolate. Versus, you know, and now how, what kind of cupcakes do we want to make? And how do we make cakes and pedestals and all of these things? And we had a blast. Well, sure enough, she was there for the show 9 months later and actually went into remission.
Praise God.
Better than that. Yes. She's been cancer-free for the last 6 years, completely cancer.
Wow.
Now she's convinced and her family's convinced that art saved her life. And it's an attitude of the heart and the mind, but she was using life-giving activity to keep her hand and her mind occupied. Because what happens is when you get into your right brain thinking, right brain activities, then time doesn't mean anything to you anymore. There's this flow. You hear it called the creative flow or getting in the flow. It's actually a real thing, because timeliness is a left brain skill, not a right brain skill. Right brain is just letting that creativity flow, and it creates these neural pathways between left brain, right brain. So the creator knew what he was doing when he gave us half of our brain devoted to creativity. We're made in his image. We are to be creative beings, even if we don't identify as artists or musicians or dancers or singers. You can still find ways to be creative. I have a three-part pop-up podcast I've created that I'd love for your audience to access through www.getcreativewithkaren.com and register for that. And it will be other ways. I can show you lots and lots of ways to exercise and stir up your brilliant right brain, because that does overcome brain fog. It's miraculous. They're saying that it helps with Parkinson's and other type of neurological diseases, just utilizing your right brain. I've had other clients that got diagnosed with Parkinson's and the right hand was so shaky, they started learning to draw and paint left-handed and again had healing on the right side result. I can't explain it. I just know it's real. It's miraculous and it's real. There's so many ways to engage that right brain. We've got to catch up with our brilliant left brains. And you know, when I talked about 5 and 6 year olds being so creatively brilliant, adults not, it's because they haven't learned that they can't be yet, most of them. So they're
right
in their full mental capacity. And so as we have an education system, as you know, as a teacher, that very much stresses memorization and order and critical thinking and all of the things that are very strongly left brain, we've kind of trivialized. A lot of schools don't even have full-time art teachers anymore, or music teachers, or theater. We just had it as a club in the high school I went to. So it wasn't even a course you could take. And these things develop and help us stir up those right brain creative juices that we just really haven't understood create a more brilliant person, because your SATs, they're only going to evaluate how smart you are with your left brain, not your right brain.
Yes. Yes. And I say, I can't tell you, I'm sorry to cut you off, I can't tell you how often I have said to students when they have, or even to families, when they've gotten those IQ test scores back and they're told that their full scale IQ is below average or low average or even high average. And I say, you understand that that's only a snippet of who you are. And if you're really good at visual spatial things, which comes from the left brain, then you're going to do a whole lot better on those kinds of IQ tests. If that's not your strength, and that is not everybody's strength, then you're not going to score as well. And so to hear you say that, just again, just validates what I have said to students over the years. I do just want to very quickly, so I've got the website again here on the bottom of the screen. It is www.getcreativewithkaren, and Karen is typical spelling, I think, karen.com. Is there anything before I take this down off the screen that you want to talk about specifically on this page? All they have to do is go to this link and then just click on the yes, I want access.
Yeah. And you'll register for it. You'll get some emails that'll show you, tell you what to do next. But the, you know, what I've done in this podcast is just give you other ways. Okay. You don't identify as an artist. Now what, how do I engage my right brain? I give you a whole list of ideas, but I want to share one. And this is on the first episode where I talk about taking a stroll. Now, I'm not talking about with your Fitbit watch, counting the steps, although those are good. I'm not talking about an aerobic opportunity. I'm talking about a stroll. Now, something about being in the moment engages the right brain and the left brain. When you, when you're strolling along, you're using your, like you said, the spatial, knowing where to step, that's very left brain, but noticing the clouds, noticing the trees, you know, hearing a woodpecker or the owls, depending upon the time of day, smelling the flowers or, children playing or dogs barking, you know, visiting other, seeing other neighbors. Maybe you're walking with a loved one or a pet, you know, and you're in noticing the moment that you're in. My husband and I have this habit every night that we're taking a walk and enjoying being each other, catching up with our day, seeing where the moon is. It was a full moon recently, just enjoying the colors of the moon and just engaging in those moments. And even though I used to think, oh, we're not being very aerobic because he didn't like to walk fast, I didn't even understand, this was still doing us so much good. It's good for your brain. It's good for your body. It's good for your emotions to do that. And so we're playing catch up. Most of us, we haven't engaged in our right brain because we've been so focused on left brain. One of the things that, talking about the miraculous healing power of arts, I read one of the studies from Walter Reed Hospital, which is the foremost military hospital, I think, probably in the world. And they were struggling with their, with a lot of their veterans coming back from having physical and emotional injuries, and they tended to them and they did all the therapies and they'd done a lot of work, but there was still not everybody getting well. And they decided one summer to do some special therapeutic courses with them. At the end of that summer, it was a huge success. And they did a survey, and the overwhelming majority of these soldiers, now these are soldiers, identified, they said, what was your favorite part of this summer? And the overwhelming, like 85%, said art. So there is something powerful. You mentioned coloring books for adults. My 92-year-old mother was coloring with her great-granddaughters recently. Now, these were children's coloring books. She said, Karen, you're absolutely right. I couldn't believe how relaxed I felt, because just these 15 minutes a day, 15, 20 minutes a day, releases serotonin, which is the happiness chemical, releases dopamine. It also releases pent up stress hormones or cortisol, which is, some of it's good, but too much is bad. All of these wonderful benefits, feel good things happen engaging with our right brain. She said, I felt it. I could feel myself relaxing. And so that's why they have adult coloring books. And I've talked to other people. They have little crossword puzzles and little things that they do when they're feeling stressed, because it releases that stress. It helps us engage both sides of our brain, build these neural pathways. And those neural pathways don't go away. So once you build them, they're there. Just like with my young student, David, he had already been building those pathways that stood him in good stead when he had an injury. So I encourage you, find something you love. I have some other ideas. How about gardening? Do you like to garden?
Sometimes. I'll be honest, it's not my favorite thing, but I do like to get down and dirty with the mud. And I think the thing for me that is my outlet for those, any kind of thing, honestly, is being helpful to other people. So I don't necessarily like to do my own gardening, but if I'm at someone's house and I know that they need help with pulling weeds, I'm more than happy to go pull their weeds. If they, you know,
same benefit.
Right. If they need fruits or vegetables picked, or, you know, if they need their lawn cut, I'm always happy to do it for others. But for me, it's not as enjoyable unless it's for others. I don't know if that's some weird thing about me, but.
You're still going to get the benefit. I married a master gardener, so I get the
there you go.
I get the fresh pick flowers. So, you know.
Those are real? Oh my gosh, yes, I thought those were silk.
Ginger and roses. Yeah, and it smells like heaven.
That's beautiful. Too.
Oh, yeah. Not only do we use the roots for spice, but I get to enjoy the blooms all summer long.
That's awesome.
Cooking is another way to build up your right brain, left brain connections, because you follow recipes or you don't. You grandma's old recipe. I add chocolate to my grandma's old recipes, or I'll do something different. You're utilizing those creative juices. So here's another study that I found fascinating. So do you like to sing in the shower?
I just like to sing anywhere.
I like to sing in the car when nobody can hear me, but, you know, singing in the shower. So they do a study, you know, scientists will study anything, right? So they're studying people as they're taking a shower. So there you are, rub-a-dub-dub, scrubbing the tub. You're letting your left brain rest. You know, you're using it because you're moving, but you're singing along your favorite song, or for us, it would be worship music, singing along, worshiping, and you get out of the shower, you feel good, you release the serotonin, you're all warm and fuzzy, and you get an idea. Maybe it was a answer to a question you had with work, or a solution to what's going to be the title of my next book, or maybe answering a relationship issue. It's a new idea, because as you're singing along, you're creating these new pathways that come up with solutions that you don't even realize are happening while you're scrub-a-dub-dubbing and singing in the shower. Isn't that great?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And you know, I've had that happen before, you know, where I get out of the shower after, you know, like you said, singing or doing a praise and worship song. And all of a sudden, yeah, something that I wasn't thinking about while I was in the shower, I now have a different approach or an answer or, you know, a different insight into. And so it's, you know, the Lord, when he designed us, he had a lot of purpose in mind. He was very intentional. And it's just always amazing to me when the science says, yep, that's how it works.
That's what our creator gave us, what Jesus gave us. Yeah. So yeah, I'm saying this, you know, I'm 70 years old in this really exciting time of my life. I raised my children, homeschooled, was in that world for 30 years, taught in college, you know, had a career, but now I get to spend as much time as I want being creative and helping other people get creative. For like you, it gives me so much joy. I feel like God said it was my superpower, stirring up the creative in others. This is something I feel passionate about. It's not too late for us. We don't have to have dementia. We don't have to get infirm and have a useless golden years. It really should be the most incredible decades of our life, as we have had all this experience and knowledge and wisdom building up in our lives. And we can look and say, what is it that brings me the most joy? Because you want to have that in your life. And that's what I want to encourage everybody. And if you're trying something new, because we have so much access online to learn anything. Maybe you always wanted to learn to play the piano. It's not too late. Get a keyboard and take lessons. For me, even though I've had sore knees because of the old gymnastics career as a teenager, I signed up with a friend to take line dancing next month. So there's ways to engage in things that brought you joy. It's not too late. And I say it's good for you, good for your brain, good for your body, good for your emotions. And you can have a very full, rich, engaging, fulfilled, joyful life, no matter what your age or what you're dealing with.
That's so incredible. And that's so encouraging. And, you know, again, I'm thinking about how I've seen this kind of play out in people's lives. So I have an aunt who will be 92 in next week. And she is so active. But she has been a painter for the last 20 plus years. And she does now. She just about 2 months ago moved into an assisted living home, and they have arts and crafts, and they have painting, and they have bingo, and they have all these different things. And she's thriving again. And she's battled cancer multiple times. Has, you know, some memory issues and some other health issues, but she is doing fantastic now that she has like that daily. When she before moving into the assisted living, she would paint with friends like once a week, but now she's doing something arts and crafts every single day.
Wow.
And so again, it just says to me, here's the proof in all the science that you're talking about. I am seeing it living out.
Yeah.
And so that makes me wonder, how do we, like, for our veterans, you know, my husband's a veteran, many of my family members and friends are veterans, and how do we help them more? Because you said all those soldiers said that was their favorite part. So what do we need to do? Like, is it talking to legislators? Is it, you know, just putting them all in contact with your podcast and teaching them all the ways that way? Or, you know, like, what kind of things do we need to do to make that happen? And then what do you see? You've given a few examples already, but is there anything that really works better for individuals, or is it really just that individual has to find that for themselves?
Well, you know, I think it's both ways. Yeah, vote for somebody who's already got a record of helping our veterans.
Sure.
Well, they care. My husband's a veteran also, my whole family. But, you know, as we were talking about really evaluating, what is it that brings you joy? What did you love when you were young? I mean, obviously, you know, if you love to sing, you're not going to probably be singing for the Met right now, but at this point in life, but that doesn't mean you can't find joy in it. You know, there's karaoke places to sing, you know, there's opportunities. I really found out singing worship songs in church that, you know what, no matter what they told me all my life, I can sing, I can learn to sing. And it really helped when they came out with the courses that didn't have a very wide range, because I have a low voice. It went from here to here. I'm like, oh, I can't go there, but I can sing those songs that just have a few notes, but they're scripture. Yeah. You know, it makes me happy, you know, and I found I can sing them all day long. And, you know, it's finding what brings you joy. And it is very personal, but there are certain things, and there's certain community things that I know I've got an arts community, Christian Creatives group on Facebook, where we encourage each other. We share what we're doing, what we want to do. But art, you know, which is my particular interest, but I also love theater. So I got involved with a local theater group. Now, we got shut down for a couple of years and we started doing video, but they're always going to need grandmas in movies, you know, I mean, because I can't be the ingenue anymore, but that doesn't mean there's not a part for me. I've even played a tree before, you know,
and oh, there you go.
Ways, you know, so, you know, there's so many opportunities. It's just like, what floats your boat? What makes you happy? And these are God-given gifts that are inside you, and it's not too late. You know, we talk about going to, you know, old folks' homes to entertain them, but what if in the old folks' home you started entertaining your community? Because I'm sure there's singers, you know, musicians and all kinds of talent there. Like your aunt, you know, showing forth her talent still in an assisted living facility. They could have an art show there and invite the public to see their particular talents being demonstrated. There are so many ways. And, you know, that's why when you get creative with Karen.com, you can see some more ideas. There's just, and you can even contact me, and I have a list of 50 different ways to be creative. there's ideas for everyone. There's so many ways. And it really, truly, it's easy. It's not a hard thing, but it's not a passive thing. And this is what you understand when you're just sitting, you know, letting TV blah, 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 blah at you. You're not engaging your right brain. You're barely engaging your left brain. But when you are proactive, either in having communication or connecting or making something or doing something, you're actually then going to be engaging left brain, right brain. So that's what you want to make sure as you get older, not to give up all of these wonderful abilities that are still inside of you and still can be nurtured and trained.
Awesome. Thank you. So what's an example of a great client outcome What does that look like for you and your clients?
Well, you know, one of the things I've been teaching so many years, and I've taught a lot of children and all kinds of different challenges, not just the ADHD or dyslexia, but also autistic or on the spectrum. And of course, more and more children are turning up. And sometimes, you know, finding them to be able to follow my directions and enjoy drawing and painting and finding ways to communicate if they're still verbally struggling or emotionally struggling to connect, they can discover ways to connect. And I've 100% seen improvement in every one of my students, no matter their own personal skill level, with following my How to Draw book, my How to Paint book, because they're very foundational and they work for all ages. Just like if you were going to take up the piano right now, if you're starting at 50, you're starting at 20, starting at 5, you all have to learn what, you know, where's middle C, where do your fingers go, and then how to translate those notes on the paper and on the piano. These are skills that you have to learn no matter what age you're learning. And so there's certain things you can learn to draw that are very foundational. And I'm teaching my great niece who's 7, from the same book I was using in my college classes, because they're the same techniques and they work for all ages. And, you know, I call myself a practicing artist because we always feel like we're practicing, you know, we're trying to get better and better and better. Right. And that's true for not just art, but music and dance. And, you know, it's amazing the number of hours that get put into people that my sons are musicians and they moved to Germany to be in bands and fell in love with beautiful German girls and stayed in Germany and had little grandbabies. So I have to travel a long way to go to see my little grandbabies. But they found a way to be expressive and find expression with music that touches people's hearts. And, you know, we've long understood that there's something about music that goes deeper than our brain. It goes deeper into our soul because it's coming through the right brain. And as I've thought about the sensitivity of the right brain, there's a scripture in Hebrews where it talks about if you are obedient, that Christ will manifest himself to you. And that word means express himself in one or more of our 5 senses. So there is a right brain connection with the spirit that is supernatural. And I feel like as you develop and purposefully engage in right brain strengthening activities or stirring it up, even just joyful, fun things, you're actually making yourself more sensitive to the manifestation of God in your life.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. I did not know that that the word manifest meant that he would share himself with you in one of our 5 senses. But that's really beautiful to think about.
It's powerful. It's very powerful. And, you know, you think about how many times in the scripture that the musicians went to the foreground, you know, they led the battle, that they were up front. And you know, even when they went around with the clay pots that had the light underneath, they broke the clay pot. Some artist had to make all those clay pots. Now, as a potter, I can tell you, somebody spent a lot of time making thousands.
That's true.
Of little lamp covers for that lamp to be shown forth. But you know, who thinks about that? Or that the very first time that the scripture mentions someone filled with the Holy Spirit was Bezalel, who was going to be the designer for Solomon's temple. You know, so he was given an anointing from Holy Spirit. So there is an anointing upon the creative life that I think is because we're created in the image of our Creator, and he anoints when we do that, and it gives him joy when we do that. My father was a career Marine, and when he retired, I got the privilege of teaching him how to paint and draw. Well, so the last about 10, 12 years of his life, he painted and drew, and he would give them to us framed and everything for Christmas presents or birthday presents. And I tell you, for my sister and I, you couldn't give me an amount of money to have those paintings. You know, talk about leaving a legacy. He touched just seeing them makes me think about my dad. And, you know, they wouldn't go in a gallery there, but they go on my walls. They go on my, where we right. enjoy that kind of legacy. Another story, my grandmother who came from Norway knitted, and knitting is another creative activity. So everybody be talking and there she is knitting away, and she would knit us all booties, and she would use the most garish colors. I mean, I don't know, fuchsia and yellow and gold. And as children, we were like, oh, what are we going to do these funky, you know, booties?
Right. You,
she lived to be 96 making those booties. And we still ask each other, have you still got any moo-moo booties? You know, we holes in them. So, and now I have them, they don't even have the same color on both feet, but I tell you what, every winter they're precious to me, those booties,
right,
that my grandmother knit. So, you know, these are really fun ways to pass on the gifts to the next generation too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to make sure, I'm going to pop, let's see, which one of these do I want to pop up? So it's kind of all jumbled together, and I'm sorry about that. But so the ways that people can find you, you're on LinkedIn, and you're on Facebook, you're on Instagram, and then we have your getcreativewithkaren.com for your podcast. And then I do want to very quickly pop up your website again, which is Karen Deloach Art. And am I saying your last name correctly?
You're perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. And so it's like, again, I said, Karen is the, what I consider typical spelling, K-A-R-E-N, D as in Dan, ELOACHART.com. For those who are only listening to this and not watching the video, I want them to be able to find you as well. But it'll be in the show notes for those who are just listening on the podcast. But so I presume that you can work with people virtually, of course. Do you offer classes or anything in person in your area?
Yes, I do. I still do. And, you know, I did a big workshop. I do them for corporations sometimes, you know, talk about brain efficiency to businesses, do that too. And I've done that locally in Charleston, South Carolina. I've also gone places, gone down to Florida, Orlando to do one in January, did one in Mexico in April. So yeah,
wow.
To do workshops, because it's opens people's ideas and minds to their own possibilities. I think that I do work with individuals and I work with groups. I'm getting ready to do a group course that will be free. I'm going to be starting probably at first in September. It'll be weekly, a free class. And if you connect with me on any of these links and just say, I want to be participating, give me your email. I'll make sure you're in the, and get the links when I start that next month. Because I really feel passionate about this. We're going to get people stirred up, you know, and find out what their gifts are and how they can have more joy. And it brings healing. It brings restoration in so many ways. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I shared the room for a few years with the art teacher, and that was the one class that we tried to get my students. And I was a special ed teacher. We tried to get them in those art classes, even if the reading material was not at their level but we wanted them to participate. And I'm thinking back to those times and thinking about how happy my students were and how, you know, some of their artistic abilities were incredible when their academic abilities were not what people would consider incredible.
I mean, it took a long time for my sons to not believe they were stupid. You know, one of my sons was also ADHD, and, you know, he still spells everything phonetically, which would be great if it worked, but it does more in German than it does in English. But, you know, realize that his gifts were more creative than those academic worlds. When I created a textbook for my college classes, it's because I was been teaching in Orangeburg, South Carolina, and most of my students were never going to have another art class. And I realized mm-hmm. after a few years that the art history appreciation textbooks in most colleges are written by art historians. I'm sure they love art, but they're making these building these books from the left brain, not the right brain. So I wrote a book, not only is it from a biblical worldview, I got to choose the images that celebrate life, that celebrate the incredible richness of our culture. I also included 1,800 images. That's owned by Kendall Hunt that basically paid for all those 800 images, but I have a chapter that's all about local art that celebrates, you know, community celebrates life from where we live here in the Lowcountry. And this is the cover art is from a Gullah artist whose family are descendants of slaves. They were given some property and they brought their Western African culture to the community as farmers, as fishermen, as rice farmers, and basket weavers. And if you go to Charleston, South Carolina, you'll see some Gullah artists creating these Sweetwater baskets. They're incredibly beautiful. And so Jonathan Green, who went to the Chicago Art Institute in your very state in Chicago, he came back and he came back to South Carolina and he celebrates the beauty of his culture, the colors, the shapes, the textures of life from his community. So he hasn't spent his career bemoaning and, you know, complaining because he's a descendant of slaves, which is true. He's chosen to celebrate the beauty and the life of his community. And he makes a huge difference in people's lives. And my students absolutely love his work and celebrate with us what he's accomplished as an artist. And he's internationally known, not just in South Carolina. So that's the kind of work I wanted my students to engage in. And then I make them learn, I make them draw. I make them take some of my exercises and find their own gift, have it stirred up. And then I make them choose out of this 600-page book, who's your favorite artist? What's your favorite image? What did you love? What stopped you? Because art needs to be in our world. Music needs to be in our world. So these things are free to everyone. You can make copies of art for you know, 50 cents. You can make a copy of UPS, 50 cents, and a frame from the dollar store. And you can have art on your wall that represents what you love, things, images that bring you joy. And you know, I grew up, my godmother was an artist and went to school with Andy Warhol in New York. And she gave me my first art supplies when I was a little girl. And my parents had some of her abstract expressionist paintings. And I remember just spending hours looking at the colors and the shapes and trying to find images in those shapes and enjoying it. So, you know, engage in the arts for your own walls, for your own world, too. It'll bring you so much life and joy.
Yeah. As I mentioned, my aunt before, we have a few of her paintings in our house. And then my husband has a cousin who has done different using different kinds of mediums. And so we have some of her artwork in our house. And when you look around our house, there's not much that's been store-bought. It's all love purchased. And
That's perfect.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it just, you know, we have photos of family members and it's just, I think, you know, for us, it's a very warm and inviting place because of all of those touches. Yeah. So, well, Karen, we just have a couple of minutes. So I just want to give you opportunity. If there was anything that you've said to yourself before you came on today, I want to make sure that I say this or I talk about this, that you have that opportunity now, if we haven't already covered it.
Just a couple of sentences. Thank you for that. I appreciate this time. But one of the things I've learned, and I started doing this right from the start, teaching out of my studio, now on my internet line, this is creating a safe space. So this has to be a no criticism zone. Absolutely no negativity and criticism allowed. Of course, criticism comes from the left brain, which shuts down the right brain. So you want to be able to get into that right brain by not letting that left brain bully tuck you out of it. You have to keep yourself open to new things and trying new things and give yourself grace, the same grace you would give anybody else who is new, who is trying something brand new. So that grace will help you get through the learning curves and find fun in the learning. I know it's very possible to try the piano, try line dancing, try new recipes, try gardening, things that just try weaving and knitting, try something new, and give yourself a safe space that you're allowed to make mistakes. You overcome that paralysis of perfectionism that thinks that if it's not perfect, it's not worth anything. And that's just a total lie from the pit. You know, it's not true. Mm-hmm. You get the same benefits in your brain, whether it's wonderful or not. I know my grandmother tried to teach me to knit, and I'm left-handed and she's right-handed, and I could never get it. It would always slip, and she finally gave up on me. But it was fun just to have that experience with my grandmother before she left. So it's worth it. It's worth trying it. You know, it's in your heart. You know it is. It's something that's deep there. You know, is it too late for me? It's not too late for you. Just create a safe, no criticism zone and get yourself having more fun.
Thank you very much. That's a tough lesson for me to learn, is that it doesn't have to be perfect. Cake decorating is the one thing that I did. And now, unfortunately, my hands, I just don't have the right strength anymore. But I wanted every little dot, every little flower, every little whatever, you know, to be absolutely perfect. And thankfully, the Lord has given me the ability to, I've learned how, I am a right-handed person, but I've learned how to do other things left-handed. And I do write some left-handed, but I am typically a right-handed person. But during my cake decorating class, there was someone in the class who was left-handed and was having a very similar problem to what you mentioned with your grandmother. And our instructor was like, I just don't know how to help you. And so I went home, and it was just a weekly class. And between that class and the next class, I taught myself how to do the steps with my left hand so that the next week I could go back and teach that person. But that's what I had done as a teacher. Wow. I had left-handed students, and I thought, I can't tell them with my right hand how to form the letters in cursive. And so I taught myself how to write left-handed so that I could help my left-handed students.
Amazing. That's wonderful. Yeah. When we all had computers that had mouse with the cords, we had it set up for the half of the family that's right-handed. And I taught my sons that are left-handed along with me, we're going to learn how to use the mouse with our right hands. And man, you know, you it's something that I've never been sorry to do. You know, we actually now have the advantage that we don't need that anymore, but we still can, you type with both hands, and more you can do with both hands. One of my sons is ambidextrous. He played baseball left-handed, pitched left-handed, first base left-handed, batted left-handed, golf left-handed, and he broke his left hand and started writing right-handed. So then he started writing. And as a guitar player, again, you're using both hands, you know, so it's it's something that being able to use, be ambidextrous. And so my older student that I'm working with to teach him to draw left-handed, I said, I'll draw right-handed with you, you know, while you're drawing left-handed. And when my husband and I had a painting business decades ago, you know, you're on a ladder, you want to paint all the way to one side and then the other. You don't want to get up and down and use a different.
Exactly.
You learn to paint with both hands. You know, you learn how to do it that way. You can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You just have to give yourself that, like you said, give yourself that grace and not worry that it's perfect every single time. We have to learn. We have to make mistakes. And I know we're almost out of time, but I know there's I don't know what it's called, but there is, I believe it's in Japan, where when a bowl or something gets broken, they don't try to hide that break. They will inlay it with some like gold something to put it back together, but they don't try to buff out where the break was. They highlight that. And I have learned from that to acknowledge my mistakes and if necessary, highlight them, because that is part of who I am and part of what makes our whole world beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So Shelley, I just want to commend you as a podcaster too. You realize that just podcasting, you're using your left brain, right brain, because you have to have order and technology and set up the schedule and line up your guests, but you're also creating brand new content, which is the very definition of creativity, is coming up with something new. Albert Einstein said that creativity is intelligence having fun. It sounds like you are an amazing teacher and you're a wonderful podcaster. So thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you for saying that. You're going to make me cry. I, I do appreciate that. And I really like that saying. I'm going to have to maybe get that on something and have that kind of behind me so that that's something else that we can inspire people. But Karen, this has been such a lovely conversation. I have so very much enjoyed it. And I appreciate everything that you're doing and everything that you have brought to the world. What a tremendous gift and what a tremendous opportunity to help people go from being that caterpillar to being that butterfly and having no limits in their lives. So thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who is watching or listening in the replay. Make sure to like and subscribe to the station, the YouTube channel, the Facebook, wherever you're hearing or watching this so that you don't miss an episode of Hashtag No Limits. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.